Okay, so this week we're trying to finish off Perek Yud Zayin. Last week we did the beginning of David and Goliath, and really it wasn't David and Goliath, it was Shaul and Goliath. And we fleshed out the basic point that Rashi made, which was that when Goliath challenges an Ish from Bnei Yisrael to come forward and challenge him, so really it's supposed to be Shaul. But already Shaul's at the point now where he does not have the Amunah necessary to take the staff, even though it would have been the very logical thing to do for the strongest of the tallest, most physically imposing king of Bnei Yisrael to go toe-to-toe with Goliath. That's the model of king that Bnei Yisrael had wanted. They wanted the military hero. Well, now they have him, and he fell short. So we then move to David HaMelech. So we've got so much to do this week, so let's just jump straight in. David shows up at the camp. Remember, we saw he's evolving. He put away the sheep and he gave them to the shomer. He's never going to be a shepherd again. He brought the baggage and he gave it to the shomer Hakelim. He's never going to be a schlepper again. This whole parak is a parak of David's transformation. And then we get to Pasuk Chafhei, and Goliath has come out between the camps. Remember, the Pasuk referred to Goliath as the Ish HaBinayim, which most of the Mefarshim understood meant he's the only man strong enough to travel the no man's land between the stalemate of the Plishti camp and the Jewish camp. The Pasuk Chafhei is an interesting pasuk. An important point to make about it. The Navi says, "Vayomer Ish Yisrael." So the people are saying, as they all cower as they see Goliath, "Hareisem Isha Lehazeh." You see this person coming up. Ki lecharef es Yisrael alai. He's coming to disgrace Israel. Whoever is the man who will strike Goliath, if any ish can come forward to slay him, Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Gadol. So we find out for the first time there's going to be tremendous reward for whoever kills him. Vezbito Yitain Lo, we'll give him his daughter. Vezbeis Aviv, he's going to become part of the father's house. Yaseh Chavshi B'Yisrael, he's going to have a lifetime tax exemption. When we think of Shaul's accomplishments, so Shaul has imposed a kingdom on the whole country. You know, they were used to not paying taxes. Now they got to pay him. Apparently taxes were pretty severe because up on the same level as marrying the king's daughter and giving being showered with money is he gets a tax exemption. Be that as it may, so apparently Shaul has offered a massive reward to the person who's willing to do this. The Pasuk Chavav is very strange. David says in response, David says to them, what is going to happen to the person who kills this Plishti? Remember, we saw last week that the Navi refers to Goliath again and again and again as the Plishti, the idea being that Goliath is the epitome of Philistinism. But what does the Navi mean when we ask, when David says, what is going to happen to the person who strikes this Plishti? They told him one pasuk ago, if you kill Goliath, you'll get X, Y, and Z. You'll get the money, you'll get Shaul's daughter, and you'll get the tax break. So why is David asking this one pasuk later? So the Malbim has the answer, and it's going to emerge in the second half of the pasuk. So we'll just read the rest of the pasuk, and then we'll read the look at the Malbim. David continues, and he says, Behesir charpa me'al Yisrael. Whoever strikes this Plishti is going to remove the disgrace from Israel. Kimi haplishti ha'arel hazeh. You can pick up like the contempt immediately in David's voice. The whole army is terrified of Goliath. And David walks in there and he has nothing but just disgust and contempt and disrespect. Mi haplishti ha'arel hazeh ki cheref marachos elokim chayim. Who dares disgrace the armies of the living God? David also, for the first time, is bringing Hashem into the picture, right? The other soldiers are talking about disgracing Yisrael, and David says, "Look, we're not just a nation of Israel like other nations, but we are the nation of Elohim Chayim." So the Malbim explains, right? Why is David repeating the same question from before? What is going to happen to this person who takes on Goliath? And why is he then following this up by talking about removing the disgrace, getting rid of this
uncircumcised Plishti. So let's just scroll down for a second. Let's see what the Malbim's point.
The Malbim explains that this wasn't a question. When David says, what's going to happen to the person who kills Goliath? So explains the Malbim, David Amar Zos Kimat Mia. David is shocked. They tell David, we can't get a volunteer to fight Goliath. It's been 40 days already, the Navi has said. So, you know, we probably increase the prize offer again and again and again. And now, you know, it's like the lottery numbers. So by now we're up to, you know, 200 million for the Powerball. So now we're up to the king's daughter and millions of dollars and no taxes. And David says, that's crazy. David thought that there shouldn't be any need for a reward. David Heshiv, David responds, Ki ha-pe'ula ha-gdola ha-zos be'atzma. The act in and of itself, lehina came mimecharef elokim chayim va'am Hashem tzvako su yoser yakar mikol rechush mikol matam. We have this unbelievable disgrace and blasphemy over here. We have this Plishti who's coming out, who's cursing Hashem, he's disgracing Am Yisrael. Shouldn't the removal of this Plishti in and of itself be all the incentive that you people need? That's why David continues the pasuk and he says, we got to get rid of this Macharif, who's bringing the Kherpa on the Ma'arachos Elokim Chayim. He can't believe that there needs to be any reward. You should just do it because of how important it is. What is he? He says that at the end of the piece, who is this Plishti? He says, hello, kol lev kol mekane l'Hashem ulamo. Anybody who is zealous for Hashem and his people, right, the Malbim putting those two together, yit azer l'mkom nekem itzad tavaras hakina v'hanakama l'imo v'lakav lo mitzad haschar. When Pinchas goes to attack Zimri, he doesn't need to be told that he's going to get a reward after he does it. Pinchas attacks Zimri because he's horrified by the Chil Hashem, and he goes and takes action. So David shows up at the army, and he has that exact same perspective. So right away, we just have someone talking a totally different language, literally, from everyone else there. Everyone else is talking about nations and strength and reward and politics. And, you know, no one's brave enough to fight him. But if someone is, the incentives are there. And David comes along and David doesn't see it through that lens at all. David sees it through the lens of Mecharef Marchos Elokim Chayim. He's looking at this from a religious perspective. And then the whole rest of the parak is going to be David, as we'll see, with a very careful, strategic approach, trying to impose that perspective on the rest of Klal Yisrael, right? As we'll see, David, this is an educational moment for Klal Yisrael. David may be younger than everybody else who's there, but he's focused on doing two things at once. Number one, obviously getting rid of Goliath, but the way he's going to do it is going to be in a way to shift the perspective of Klal Yisrael from the one they have now, which is the exact same perspective they had when they originally asked Shmuel for a king, and they're only thinking in terms of secular power and politics, and he's going to get them to think, you have to appreciate the perspective. You're not looking at this from Hashem-colored lenses. Which also just appreciate on a side note, there's a literary flair in what David is doing over here, because David is talking about removing the cherpa from Yisrael, right? Vehisir cherpa me'al Yisrael. And then he talks about the Plishti ha'arel hazeh, the uncircumcised Philistine. Back in Sefer Yoshua, when the Bnei Yisrael come out of the Midbar, so they are, the Navi says that they were mostly uncircumcised. They had not undergone bris milah for the last 38 years traveling in the desert. And the Navi said, the Navi describes removing the arel, the process of getting a bris milah, as a removing of disgrace. And arel is associated with cherpa. So David, who's referring to the Plishti and the arel, Plishti and arel are associated many times. It's going to happen later on in Parak Yud Ches. So removing the Plishti arel from Bnei Yisrael it's like, you know, it's being compared to a bris milah. And I'll see there's meaning behind that also, because as we said, you know, bris milah is the induction into the service of Hashem. David, by getting rid of Goliath, is kaviyachol performing a bris milah on Klal Yisrael, because he's going to bring them back into the line of thought that they should be having. Okay, that's the first major piece. David is horrified, can't imagine why these people are so passive, but that's the way that it is. That's the way everyone thinks. Pasuk Chav Zayin tells us, yeah, that's the offer. That's where things are standing. Pasuk Chav Ches comes in,
right? Where we, Eliav, right? David's older brother, the person who David was supposed to bring the food to in the first place.
So he's very angry. You know, it says, Almi Natashta Ma'atson Ahina Bamidbar. You left some, why'd you come here? You left some sheep in the wilderness. Very, very angry. Rashi, if you recall, Rashi back in the last parak had said that it's Eliab's rage that he shows over here, which demonstrated that he was not fit for the Malchus. And it seems like it's genetic, by the way, because we know that David also has a temper. That's going to come out in Sefer Shmuel. We'll see David, you know, being more successful in keeping that temper in check. At least that's something to think about. You know, David's family anger. How is that going to manifest itself? Clearly, David does not have the best relationship with his brothers. We saw last week he didn't seem to have the best relationship with his father. He was a little bit alone. But David David is kind of unmoved. And this is the first big episode, right? So David wants to go fight Goliath. I want to move a little bit quickly, so I really want to get to you know, really go in depth to when David and Goliath actually face off. So the second main chunk in the parak is the meeting between David and Shaul, and we'll see Rashi's going to have an absolutely essential comment, which is a little bit surprising. It's going to get the Radak very cranky. But there's a reason why Rashi says what he says. Let's see. So David comes to Shaul, right? And Shaul again thinking along the same lines as the people. He's just thinking of it in terms of pure power. Shaul says to David in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Lo suchal alecha sal plishti al zeh li lachem imo. There's no way you can take him on. Ki na'ratav hu ish milchama minu rav. You're a young lad. And he is a man of war from his very youth. The Plishti society is a very warlike society. They make their money off of plunder and pillage. And Goliath is the best of the best. You have no chance. Shaul thinks that he himself has no chance. That's why he's not going to fight against Goliath. And so Kal Vachomer, he doesn't think that David has a chance in the world. For him to risk David's life, and maybe more importantly, risk the fate of his whole army, because remember, the deal that Goliath has proposed has been whoever wins the battle, the other side will surrender. So, like, it's kind of crazy for Shaul to agree to this proposal. So, what does David respond? David's famous response. David says to Shaul, right, that I was the shepherd and I took on the lion and the bear. So, if I could take on the lion and the bear, so I could also take on this this Plishti. That same exact line. He's disgracing the armies of Hashem, so I surely can take him on. And we notice again here, something we pointed out last week. Remember, we had this contrast the Navi was drawing between the Plishti and the Ish. And the irony there was that when you contrast anybody with a person, so that we're setting up Goliath as a quasi-animal. So Goliath is doing that explicitly. David is doing that explicitly over here. If I could take on the lion, I could take on the bear, so I could take on this uncircumcised Plishti. And again, the Plishti Ha'arel, the contempt that David has. But I'm going to scroll down for a minute to see the Malbim. I think, yeah, the Malbim expands on this a little bit. Rashi is an important point too. So yeah, the Malbim says, hey, since this Plishti is disgracing the assemblies of the Ribono Shel Olam, so he has lost his human stature. Yarad mi madrigato hanoshit al madrigata chayav habema asher im bo rakach gufani levad. I just see a big mountain of muscle. There's no brain. There's no humanity in the other side, right? If I could take on the lion, I could take on the bear. Well, by disgracing Hashem, Goliath has forfeited his humanity. Very interesting perspective. And therefore, David says that he's confident he can take him up. But Rashi has one other point to add to the picture, which is going to be very important for a comment Rashi is going to make very soon. Rashi says that David's confidence was not completely, was not all based in pure emuna alone. Rashi says that why does David bring in the lion and the bear? So Rashi says in source number 3, Yodea ani shelo l'chinam nizdami li hadavar hahu. I know that it was not for no reason that I was able to overcome the lion and bear. It's not normal. How many shepherds have a situation where they, you know, with their bare hands fought off a lion and a bear? It was obviously miraculous that David was able to escape unscathed as a shepherd from fighting the lion and the bear. So explains Rashi, why thinks David to himself, must that miracle have already happened to me in the past? Clearly, that experience I had with the lion and the bear was as a sign to me that I would have a situation like this in the future where I would come to the rescue of Yisrael. The esmoch aleh ve'itze, and I can have confidence that Hashem will be there for me in the future because he was there with me in the past. That miracle in the field did not happen for no reason, reasons David to himself. It happened as a sign to me of a portent to come. This is something, there's a message here for me. Rashi continues this and he says that we have this happen twice in Tanakh. He says it happens for David and it happens for Mordechai. And when Mordechai would walk back and forth in the palace, so Mordechai reasoned, right, it was not a pure coincidence that Esther was chosen to be queen. How could Mordechai march up to the royal palace wearing sackcloth and tell Esther that she has to risk her life by going to see Ahasuerus unannounced? Well, he can do that because Mordechai says to himself, look, it's not a coincidence that the Ribbono Shel Olam put Esther in this situation earlier. Why did he make her queen before out of all the women of the entire Persian Empire? Clearly, that was Hashgacha Pratis for the situation now that they're under the threat, the decree of Haman. Same exact thing, says Rashi, happens over here with David. We could maybe speculate, by the way, that you know part of the theme of the whole Parag Yud Zayin of David and Goliath is David replacing Shaul, because Shaul is the one who's supposed to be fighting Goliath, and that's going to be David. And that's going to like really jump out when Shaul gives David his armor. So the fact that, you know, Mordechai and Shaul are such connected personalities from Shevet Binyamin, so there could be like another element maybe to tease out here is that like, you know, it's supposed to be Shaul and Mordechai. And even in this piece, Shaul is turning into David. Nice thing to think about. But so anyway, so that was David's proposal to Shaul. That's what's behind the whole episode of the lion and the bear. Number one, right, we're thinking of Goliath as just another lumbering animal. And point number two, David not coming out of a total vacuum, but having a reason to have the faith that he has. Okay, and then we should give credit for this. Pasuk Lamed Zayin in the end, Vayomer Shaul David Leich v'Hashem Ye'imach. We should not take this for granted because so much, and you know, especially like these weeks, there's going to be a lot of piling onto Shaul. And so the points in the Navi where Shaul, we see, you know, anywhere where we see why Shmuel loved Shaul so much, we should highlight those. Because it's actually incredible that Shaul does give David the green light, right? He at the end of the day, he can't muster the amuna or bitachon to go do it himself. And he reacts to David by thinking that he's crazy. But in the end, he signs on to it. Then he signs on, he gives David the bracha to go, right? It's like he can't muster David's bitachon, but it's like David's bitachon, you know, lifts up Shaul to a degree. He goes along with it. And he says, go and Hashem be with you. Not to be taken for granted. If David's brother was the king, we know what his reaction would have been. Eliab would have just said, go home. would have just yelled at him and laughed him out of the battlefield. Shaul, his initial reaction is not good, but he comes along. It's amazing. Then what does Shaul do? The very famous couple of psukim. So Shaul gives David his armor. The Navi described in extreme detail Goliath's armor. Now we see Shaul's armor. He tries to go. This word, well, that's what we got to dig into. Lo nisa. They translate over here. He had not tried it, right? Like a nisayon. I've not tried them. David can't handle the armor. Rashi has an interesting comment that, you know, really, Shaul's armor should not have fit David because Shaul is much broader and taller than David. So Rashi has a comment that there is a nace here that the armor fit David in the first place. And David, Shaul notices that, and that begins already to get Shaul jealous. It's going to come out in Parak Yud Ches. Rashi already places the seeds of it here in Parak Yud Zayin, interestingly. But the question here is, what exactly does David mean when he says, I'm taking off the armor because I haven't tried it? So the pshat is that David is used to being a shepherd. He's not a soldier. So the first time he's going to go with heavy armor and heavy weapons, it's not what he's used to. So therefore, since he's not used to going as a soldier, so he'll go with what he's used to. So he'll go with his slingshot and his stones and his shepherd's bag, which we have in Pasuk Mem. But let's look at Rashi. We have to understand where this is coming from. So Rashi gives two views. His second view is exactly that. Lalech avayo lalechas means he tried. Linasos. He was trying to go with it, and when he saw that he wasn't used to it, he took him off. But that's not the first view that Rashi gives. The first view that Rashi gives is from the Targum Yonasan. Lo nasisi translates Targum Yonasan. Are leis bahon nisa. Not referring to nisayon, but referring to a miracle. Targum Yonasan says, David refuses to wear the armor because there will not be a clear miracle as a consequence of doing this. Ein shvacho shel neis bakach. If I go wearing, decked out in armor, it will not be so clear that that there was miraculous intervention to help me overcome Goliath. That's the first view. That seems to be the preferred view that Rashi has, the view of the Targum Yonasan. The Radak does not really have any patience for this. Radak quotes Targum Yonasan, and Radak just says, do not think that this is the literal translation of the verse. And the question is, why did Rashi and Targum Yonasan seem to disagree? There's no question that, you know, look, the reason why the JPS over here translated it as a nisayon, as just he was untried. What is pushing Rashi to read the pasuk as having David say, I need to broadcast the fact that a miracle is about to occur? So, you know, Rashi like started the ball rolling a little bit because he said that was that piece before about the lion and the bear, that David is not, it's not a case of Ein Somchen al Hanes. Normally we do not rely on miracles, but David has a concrete reason to expect one to happen over here because of his previous experience. But there's actually a very, very big problem that Rashi's approach solves. According to Radak, if we think that David took off the armor because it was heavy and he wasn't used to it, and it was a military tactical consideration to take off the armor, then the beginning of Parak Yud Ches, right now in Parak Yud Zayin, beginning of Parak Yud Ches does not make any sense. Why? So let's just look for a second. We're going to jump ahead to the first few psukim of Parak Yud Ches. After the defeat of Goliath, what happens? Says the Navi, this is the beginning of the bond between Yehonasan and David. The bond is rapid and the bond is powerful. Okay. they make a covenant to Pasuk Gimel. And look at Pasuk Dal, Pasuk Hey. He gives David his robe. Umadav, he gives David his armor. He gives all of his heavy weapons to David. His armor, his sword, his bow and arrow, and his belt. What does David do with that armor? He doesn't put it up in his closet. He takes the weapons and he goes to war. So how can it possibly be that in Perek Yud Zion, David does not put on the armor and the weapons because he will fight better without them? And then 10 minutes later, one Perek later, immediately after the battle, he goes out of that conversation, talks to Yonasan. Yonasan gives him his armor. And all of a sudden now he has no problem putting on the armor and taking the weapons and fighting like a regular person. If you want to understand that it's just military strategy, I don't know, maybe David was taking like steroids and growth hormone that all of a sudden he becomes strong enough in 5 minutes that he's able to fight comfortably with Yonasan's weapons and armor. Rashi is going to respond to the Radak and say, no, when David is fighting as a normal general, and that is what is going to happen from Perek Yud Ches and onwards, he has weapons, he has armor, he goes like any normal soldier would. But Perek Yud Zion is not a normal moment. It is a moment where David senses that he's being called for this moment. He realizes what it means, the symbolism of Goliath. He realizes the message that was given to him by Hashem allowing him to defeat the lion and the bear. And he realizes that he needs to not only fight Goliath, but fight Goliath in a way that shows to Bnei Yisrael that they need to get out of the mentality that they've had ever since they asked Shmuel for a king. They have to stop thinking just in terms of physical strength. And they need to realize that the Ribono Shel Olam is ultimately the one who makes the decisions. And therefore, everything he's going to do, the entire battle, is going to be to send this message. Let's remember, David, right, the author of so much of Tehillim, is a master of communications. You know, in addition to all his other talents, he knows exactly what message he's communicating and how he communicates it. And one other piece that shows it to us, by the way, is how does David go towards Goliath? So the pasuk puts in one extra piece, which is very interesting. Pasuk mem, veikach maklo biado. He takes his staff. He takes the five stones. Why five stones? I think Abarbanel suggests that the five stones represents the five saranim, the five leaders of the five Plishti city-states, of whom Abarbanel said that Goliath was one of them. Puts them in his shepherd's bag. Asher lo uvial kut ukla obiado. Right, he's got a vegash el haplishti. If David is going, you know, like some people say, oh, David, you know, like Malcolm Gladwell has his book, David and Goliath. So his introductory piece, he explains that David was purely tactical, and that Goliath was slow and heavy, and David was just fighting a different battle. David outsmarted him, and therefore he goes with long distance weapons that Goliath can't hope to be. That's the only reason why David chose a sling. Then why does he go with his staff? The Navi makes very clear. David approaches Goliath dressed as a shepherd. He has the Kli Haro'im. He specifically takes his shepherd's bag where he puts his stones. And he takes his shepherd's staff. He is sending a message. I am not being dressed as a soldier. I am being dressed as a shepherd. He's going out of his way to demonstrate that military might ultimately does not matter. Now let's see how Goliath responds to this. So you can imagine, right? Goliath is there in no man's land. So the Navi describes, again, right? He's not Goliath. He's just the Plishti. You see, and now it's like hot and heavy. It's going to come again and again and again. Really got a climax over here. Holech v'karev el David. The Goliath slowly, gradually approaches David. Holech v'karev. V'yoish no se hatzina lifanav, and the person with the shield coming in front of him. There's an irony over here, which is that Goliath, the Ish HaBeinayim, was supposed to be the person who's so strong, actually comes off kind of cowardly in this pasuk. He's approaching very slowly with his shield bearer in front of him. And you can imagine Goliath, you know, he sees the whole commotion in the Jewish front, and he sees that someone off in the distance is emerging to face him. And it sounds like Goliath is actually a little bit afraid. So Vayabein HaPlashti, he gazes ahead, and then what does he see? Vayira as David. He sees David Vayavzeu, and now he disdains him. This is ridiculous. He's a cute, good-looking boy. That's who comes towards him, right? So after the initial hesitation from Goliath, maybe is Shaul coming? Is some great warrior coming? He looks, he gradually approaches. He's got a shield bear. Oh, no, it's just some boy. What on earth is going on? Am I a dog? You come to me with a stick. He doesn't have he notices that David is dressed as a shepherd, and he's furious. Where's the respect? I'm a soldier. You know, fight me man to man. I deserve the covet of getting someone to come to me with weapons. And now, you know, of course, what's David's answer? What's David's answer when Goliath says, am I a dog? What's David's answer? Yes. Yes. Shkayach, exactly. You got the message. That's exactly what I'm telegraphing to you. Right, this is how I fought the lions and the bears this time fighting you. You are an animal. By Kalela Plashtias David Belokab. Plashti curses David by his God. Okay. Now, we saw this, I think, last week when you have someone say something twice in a row. That means that there's silence on the other end. So that means what we have here is, you know, Goliath calls out this line to David. David doesn't respond. Goliath curses David. Then what happens next? Pasuk Mem Dalid. The Yomar Plishti El David. Meaning, David is quiet again. David is just quiet. You know, he's watching this lumbering Philistine. First saying, am I a dog? Then cursing. Then Yomar Plishti El David. L'cha elai ve'etna es v'sarcha l'of ha-shamayim u'hem asasadeh. Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of Shemayim and the animals of the field. Rashi comments on this line, Behemas Hasadeh, that David said, I see that David, that Goliath is actually totally off his game because there are no wild animals in the field. It should be Chayas Hasadeh, it should be the wild animals. The fact that he says the domestic animals, Behemas Hasadeh, indicates that Goliath is already not in the right place. But whatever, be that as it may, Goliath, after seeing David, has total disrespect and set three different times calls out to him, and each time David just looks, you know, stares him down quietly. We can imagine the feeling David has as he sizes up Goliath. Finally, David responds, and it's one long speech. Vayomer David al haPlishti, right? Not to Goliath, but just to the Plishti. You came to me with a sword and a spear, and a stabbing spear and a throwing spear. So David lays out the terms immediately. But the two sides here are not the Jew and the Plishti. It's not one warrior versus another warrior. It's someone with the forces of military strength versus someone with the forest of Ribbono Shel Olam. And he invokes the name Hashem Tzvakos, which we've seen since the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. That is the original name of Chana, going back to Tfilas Chana, where this was the exact point of the whole Tfilah, at the beginning of the Sefer, setting forward the basic Hashkafic foundation. Right? We've seen this like again and again and again. Here is probably the most important place where it comes out. The Hashkafic foundation for Sefer Shmuel laid by Chana, that is exactly what David is driving home over here. Right, just to scroll down for a second, just to recall some of what Chana had said. Al tarbut stavru gaboha gaboha, you should not be so arrogant. Keil deos Hashem, blunt gualilos, kashas giburim chatim inachshalam azru chayel, Hashem breaks the bows of the mighty. Raglei chasidav yishmor, she'im b'choshach yidamu, ki lo b'chawach yigbar ha'ish. Not by strength does man does not prevail. Who is going to prevail? Ribbono shel mayitin oz l'malko v'yarem kar meshicho. The meshicho is, of course, David. Now David is taking that message that Hannah said at the beginning, and he's pounding it to Goliath, and he's pounding it to all of Bnei Yisrael in public. You come with the sword and the spear and the javelin. I come with Hashem Tzivakot. Ayom hazeh yisagerach Hashem v'yadi v'kisich. Hashem is going to give. I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to be. Hashem is going to beat you. Hashem is going to give you to me. V'asiros yashrosh chamelacha. Right, it's like David was quiet, and then boom, it like comes out. I mean, he can't stop, right? It's like he's again and again, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna take off your head, I'm gonna leave your body in the field for the birds, for the chayas ha'aretz, right? The wild animals, like you know, David is patient to patient, patient, and then there's no stopping him. This is a religious question, and it's a religious contest, and I'm gonna show everyone the Yedu Kala Aretz. It's not just me and you. This is a battle, and this is a message for the Plishtim on your side, and it's a message for Eretz for the Bnei Yisrael on my side. I am communicating something to everyone over here. You need to call a kahal as that. Who is the kahal? Who's the assembly? Presumably, it's Kal Yisrael is the assembly. It's like if David you know, couldn't make it clear. Now it's like black on white. Lo b'cher v'chanis yoshi Hashem. Ki l'ashem ha-milchama v'nasan eschem bi-yadenu. Okay. So I mean, it's just, you know, three amazing psukim where he just lays it all out there. Now, right, we have the battle, and it's over, quickly. But we should just pay attention to what exactly the Navi does with it, contrasting Goliath with Shaul. Goliath, this big, I'm just going to close this thing, sorry, one second. Love it. This lumbering, you know, big, hulking, heavily armored giant who we saw, you know, is actually kind of nervous as David approached. So look at the contrast between how fast and slow they are. And remember that we already saw last week, the Navi had a couple of times David running. David ran twice. David ran from being with the sheep. To the battlefront. That's going to come forward again over here. Vayaki kam haplishti. The plishti got up. Vayelech vayekrav. And again, right, he goes and he approaches. It's gradual. He's all the army. Oh, he gets up. He starts to slowly move forward. Now look at just how many verbs the Navi has to describe. David is extremely active over here. By my hair, David is quick. By Yara Tamara Chalikras Plishti, he runs towards the Plishti. Now we know David, you know, slings him and then kills him. But the Navi, right, draws it down three different psukim. How many things? By Yishlach Yad David Es Yadu Elakeli, he sends his hand towards the slingshot. By Yikach Misham Evan By Yekla, he takes the stone. By Yachas Plishti, he strikes the Plishti on his forehead. We know the stone, right, miraculously penetrates the armor, sinks into his forehead. The Plishti falls down. By Chazak David Mina Plishti. Right, David overpowered him. Vayachas haplishti again, repeating that he strikes the plishti. Vayimiseu, he kills him. Vayaretz David, he runs a second time. Vayamod al haplishti, he stands over the plishti. Vayikach, another taking. He takes the sword of the plishti. Vayishlefam itara, I should have read that one also. He draws the sword. Vayimoseseu, he slays the plishti again. Vayichas basrosho, and he beheads Goliath. 11 verbs to describe what David does in 4 psukim. Someone who's extremely zealous, right? We talk about the kinnah that the Malbim describe, the zealousness that David tells the rest of Klal Yisrael they need to display when they see this contest with the Plishti Arel who's blaspheming and cursing Hashem and everything else. David runs, he runs twice, he strikes twice, he's extremely active. Vayira Plishtim ki meis kuhoram, right? And then what happens? The Plishtim see their hero died, vayanusu, and they run away. So that is the there we go, right? It's short, it's sweet, at least it's sweet for us, it's sweet for David, not so sweet for Goliath. And that is exactly the message that David is putting on display. He's going specifically dressed as a shepherd. He has total bitachon, Rashi, based on previous experience, there's going to be a miracle in this situation, and there needs to be a message to Klal Yisrael to stop thinking in the Sha'ul mindset. Get back to the Chana Shmuel mindset, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. That's what he's trying to get them to do. And it's a phenomenal success. Clearly, the Jews pick up the message. They get up, they blow the shofar, they chase the Plishtim. They go all the way to the gates of the Plishti cities. Remember the last battle that Klai Yisrael fought with the Plishtim, the one where Shaul is running the show. They push the army back one town over, and then already once they got to the next hill, the Navi said, Shaul had a very difficult time inspiring the men to go any further than that. And he pushed and pushed, and his sheer will was enough to move them along, but there was only so far that it could go. And the Navi made clear that many Plishtim escaped, and they remained as a strategic threat because just the leadership was not there to inspire them to go all the way. Things are different this time. Thanks to the inspiration of David, the Jews do hear the call. They go all the way to the gates of Ekron, the nearest Plishti city. All the way to several of the Plishti cities. They chase them afterwards. And the next Pasuk, the Navi, even describes in more graphic terms how intense this pursuit was. Vayashuv bnei Yisrael mi delok acharei plishtim vayashosu es machaneha. What is happening here? First of all, it's not just a ridifa, a pursuit, but here the Navi talks about being dolek, like lighting a fire. It is an inflamed pursuit. They are red hot as they go after the plishtim. And very importantly, another contrast with the last battle against the plishtim. Remember, the last battle, Bnei Yisrael stopped chasing the plishtim, and then it said vayat, right? They flew to the spoils, they flew to the animals to stop, to eat, and to enjoy the wealth. Both battles they had under Shaul, against Amalek and against the plishtim, under Shaul, Bnei Yisrael stopped, they flew to the spoil. What happens here? First, they're all in on the battle. They intensely chase the Plishtim all the way to their cities. And then afterwards, after the battle is done, they then go back and now they plunder the camps. They have their priorities straight. They're not only in it here for the money. If you're in it for the money, then it's first come, first serve. You're going to stop chasing the retreating Plishtim and get your hands on the booty from the tents. No, they're in it for the battle. And then when they come back, now it's time for the plundering. Right? Most of the Farshim explain this is whether it's probably happening either on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim itself has not even been conquered, or this is describing the eventual destination of Goliath, right? That so interestingly, David chooses to take trophies. He recognizes that this is not just a single battle. This is not like any other battle in Sefer Shmuel. There's a real fundamental reorienting of the Jewish mindset that David is trying to do. And therefore, that manifests itself both in how David fights the battle and in the aftermath. There's particular importance to the trophies of Goliath. This has to be a message that that sticks. Okay. And then the last couple of psukim of the parak, just to wrap up. So Shaul sees this, right? Shaul is obviously pretty impressed, pretty surprised. Shuv David, pasuk nun zayin, meyakos. I mean, look how long this parak is. When David comes back, meyakos saplishti veikachos. So Avner veyul lefnei Shaul. So Avner, who's the head general, you know, it's probably an awkward moment for Avner because when Shaul refused to fight Goliath. So, you know, I guess Avner should have been next man up. Well, he didn't do it either, but okay. Avner brings David to Shaul. Berosha plishti v'yadav. He has the head of the plishti always, right? The plishti. V'yomer lev Shaul b'mi ata anar. V'yomer David b'anavdacha yishai v'beis alachmi. Right? And that's the end of the parak. So, you know, this is like the key, David's essential key parak right here, right? Putting himself squarely on the Chana Shmuel side, delivering that message to Klal Yisrael. So we come out of the parak with David basically having replaced Shaul. And that's going to be set in motion already next week, right? Now we have to go back to the issue of the reward that's promised to David, because now he's supposed to marry into the royal family. So, you know, we'll see that come forward. But he's basically replacing Shaul. And this is the king that Klal Yisrael were supposed to have. The vision that the hope that Shmuel had, that in the original battle against Amon, Shaul seemed like he might have been up to, but then he lapsed back into the mode of just physical strength and hoping for victory based on strength of arms, which doesn't really work when the other side is stronger than you. So you end up like Shaul, you know, just not fighting. We're hitting the reset button. That was hitting the reset. We have a new king. We have a new leader. And we're going back to a new model. So, Mr. Shem, next week we'll go to Pasuk Pesach. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear. But otherwise, thanks everyone for coming. I'm looking forward to learning more next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good shoot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.